I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. That's what God has made us to be. That's what He intends us to be, to overcome. So if you're facing something, dealing with something, I heard somebody say one time, you know, man, I'm really going through something, and the other person said, well, don't stop. You get through it. Come out on the other end, right? Father, all of us come together and agree together as touching this today, asking for utterance, for anointing, for the quickening and leading of your Holy Spirit, for ears that can hear, for answers for us for now. We ask for it, strengthening and help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you would go to 1 Corinthians 10 again, our text in our series that we're calling Overcoming Unbelief. We've been on this for a number of weeks now, identifying the characteristics, the indicators of unbelief. Because the New Testament warns us straightly and strongly about it, that it has robbed God's people in the past, preventing them from enjoying God's blessings and hindering God's work in their life. I think this is something that many have not understood, is that if you won't listen to the Lord, if you won't believe Him and trust Him, respond to Him, He won't force His will off on you anyway. You know, the Scripture said, Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, then he would come in and sup with him and commune. What does that mean? God's not just going to, if God wants to come in, He'll come in, right? No. Mm-mm. That's where people have got it wrong. Even though something is absolutely the will of God and He wants it and He desires it for you, He won't force you to have it or force you to do it if you don't want to listen to Him, if you don't want to obey Him. You know, think about what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Kingdom come, Thy will be done. He's teaching us to pray that God's will would be done. Isn't it being done? Well, if it is, why pray that it would be? No, you and I have to respond in the right way or God's will is not done in our lives. Amen. Why unbelief held them out. So in 1 Corinthians 10, he said, verse 5, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not. And so all of this is talking about don't do what they did. Would the New Testament waste time telling us not to do something if it wasn't an issue? No. So, if we're not aware and if we don't make the right choices, we'll follow and do the same dumb things they did and get robbed like they did. But by the grace of God, no. Right? But we'll have to listen. We'll have to heed these things. He said, don't lust after evil things as they did. Don't be idolaters as were some of them. Verse 8, don't commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Don't tempt Christ as some of them tempted, were destroyed of serpents. Don't murmur as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. All of these are outcomes we don't want to happen. Right? Now, this is an answer to some big questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? People act like that's an unanswerable, you know, mystery. No. These were God's people that he chose. And bad things happened to them. Why? They wouldn't listen to him. Just because you're a believer and maybe in many ways a good person doesn't automatically mean you're listening to God and doing what he told you to do. Right? He said, all these things happen to them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, this is New Testament, writing to the saints at the church at Corinth. We're part of the same New Testament church that they are. They were. So go back to Numbers 22 and let's get a better handle on this. What happened to them and why it happened. In Numbers 22, like we saw on yesterday's class, the children of Israel have been out here wandering for a while, and they had to fight two different battles here, and God graciously, mercifully gave them victory. And now the king of Moab, and it's also the Midianites that were their neighbors, and they did some things together apparently, and they see them and are very concerned that they're next, that they're going to fight and take their land. And Balak, the son of Zippor, and Moab, verse 3, was sore afraid of the people because they were many. Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, now will this company lick up all that's round about us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. Verse 5, he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor. Now, Balaam is mentioned several times in the next two or three, this chapter, next couple of chapters. Balaam's mentioned in a couple of times in the New Testament as an example, again, of something you don't want to be, something you don't want to do. And he was a real prophet and someone who was genuinely spiritual and who heard and got things from God. And as we see through this, some of the prophecies that came through him, you'll recognize New Testament Christians quote regularly. But it came through Balaam. But it was a legitimate word from God. And yet he wound up in a bad end. But here, the king of Moab sent to him in verse 5. He said, there's a people come out from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth. They're abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray you, curse me this people, for they're too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail that we may smite them and I may drive them out of the land. For I wot, and wot means know, I know that he whom you bless is blessed and he whom you curse is cursed. He said, I know that. Well, why would he know that? They've seen it. Mm-hmm. Right? This Balaam's got a reputation. That when he speaks over you, good or bad, it happens. And so he's willing to pay him large sums of money to come curse this people, which are the Israelites, so that he can have an opportunity of conquering them in battle, because he thinks that's the only way that's going to happen. And he's right. So he... they sent, verse 7, the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian with rewards of divination in their hand. They came to Balaam and spake to him the words of Balak. Now, before we go further, We mentioned on yesterday's class that blessing and cursing, ancient peoples understood this better than modern peoples. A lot of modern people, you know, that are, they think they're educated because they've read some books. They've heard some lectures. They took some tests. They passed a course. But who wrote the book they read? Is it true or not? Is it right or wrong? And if you're ignorant of this book, you're ignorant. No matter what else you know. Now that's just a fact. And this book is full of blessing and curse. I mean, there's multiple references to it. We quoted yesterday and shouted about how that the reason Jesus came was to get the curse off of us. Yes. Hallelujah. And to qualify us for the blessing. Yes. Even though we didn't and couldn't earn it and deserve it. We still are blessed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
With faithful Abraham. Somebody said out loud, I'm not cursed.
I'm cursed.
Jesus took my curse.
Jesus took my
curse. Hallelujah. I am blessed. Glory to God. Even though I don't deserve it, even though I can't earn it, yet I still am blessed because He gave me His blessing. And I have received it. Amen. Have you received it?
Yes.
But every endeavor in life, the success or failure of it, has more to do with the spiritual connection than any natural thing. Now, I know a lot of folks don't believe that, but it's still true. Listen to some other scripture along this line. The psalmist said in Psalm 33 and 12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His inheritance. Verse 16 says, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Is that true? Doesn't matter how big your army is or how strong the soldier is. What, you need something else?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Is this true or not? He said that alone is not enough to assure victory. Well, you think about this. If the Bible is true, and we believe it is, then we are the creation of God. We live by His continual upholding all things by the word of His power. Whose oxygen are you breathing? Whose gravity is keeping your feet on the ground? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, without His help, if God stopped supporting the life, well, let's back up a little bit, the energy that's in the sun, what keeps it burning? Right? The gravity that holds the planet in orbit, what keeps that? The life force that's in you that gives the electrochemical impulses to your brain and makes your heart beat involuntarily. Where's that come from? Where's that come from? Something is sustaining that every millisecond. And the word tells us all things are upheld by the word of His power. It's emanating from the throne of the Most High God. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. One of these days, you and I are going to the throne. We're going to go right to the throne, hallelujah, and be able to see it and hear it and experience it. Power. We ain't never experienced such power, right? As we're going to from the source of all light and all life and all goodness and all blessing. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
But see, here he's saying no king is saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. But what's the determining factor then? Well, it's who's helping you spiritually or who's not helping you. Because even though you've got all of this natural, and nobody said you couldn't have some of the natural, but don't put all your faith in that. Yeah. Huh? Or you'll find out. If God is with you. Woo, hallelujah. And there are cases where God is against people and against situations. And the Bible tells us that if you humble yourself, he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Well, if the Lord's resisting you, you ain't gonna make it. Is that right? You ain't gonna make it. But if you repent and get it right and quit your stubborn, ornery ways and submit and listen, humble yourself, act like you need God. Right? Come to grips with some reality, brother. Then you get help. You get help. And that's a big part of what God's grace is. Grace is a big, big word. And it includes everything God has given as a free gift. Well, a lot of what he's given us is help. His help. His help. And with enough of his help, you can do anything. Amen. Huh? Yes. With enough of God's grace, with enough of his help, I mean, he can go before you. Prepare the way before you. Yes. Incline hearts towards you. Yes. Open doors to you. Amen. Is that right? Yes. He can protect you. Yes. All round about. Yes. He provide for you. Yes. Go with you. Hallelujah. The Bible said David, when he was fighting all his battles, it said everywhere he went, God gave him victory. Hallelujah. Everywhere he went. Why? Because the Lord his God was with him. The Lord is with him. And didn't Romans say, if God be for us? Huh? And that's exactly what we're getting to in this passage right here, because what Balaam's about to find out, God has already blessed these people. Right? God is for them. So he's running up against something he can't change. So Balak is asking him to curse them. And he had a lot of confidence in the blessing or cursing. And he had seen and knew about Balaam, that he was in contact with spiritual things, and when he spoke, it happened. So he's willing to pay him big money to come curse Israel that he sees as a threat. So in verse 8, Balaam, the prophet, told him, he said, "We'll lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again, and the Lord will speak to me." And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. So they spent the night there with him. And God came to Balaam and said, so you see why I say Balaam's a prophet, right? Mm-hmm. This is not just some weird spiritual goofy stuff. God came to him, right, and talked to him. He said, "What men are these with you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, 'Behold, there's a people come out of Egypt that cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Curse them for me. Peradventure, I'll be able to overcome them and drive them out.'" See, he's confident that if they're not blessed, if they don't have God's help, if they're cursed, he can defeat them. And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them, and you shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." Is that confusing?
No.
I don't think so. Don't go with them and don't curse them because they are blessed. So Balaam rose up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Get you to your land. The Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. I can't go." The princes of Moab rose and went to Balak. And they said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Now remember, Balak is king. You know, kings are not used to no. They don't like no. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. So he sent more important people with more money and more treasure. And they came to Balaam and they said to him, thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray you, hinder you from coming to me. For I will promote you unto very great honor. I'll do whatever you say to me. In other words, name your price. Name your price. By today's standards, see, this would be, you know, the government's money of the kingdom, you know, so it would have been millions by today's. So he said, whatever you say, but come, I pray you. Now this is the king asking for a favor. Curse me this people. See, he doesn't know everything, but he knows I can't beat them unless they're cursed. Now you might wonder why I'm talking so much about this. It'll become clearer as we go. But this is the enemy. Balak is a type of our enemy today. He knows he can't get to us. He can't do what he wants to do against us. He can't overcome us. Not because we're almighty, but because the one we serve is. And because the Spirit in us is. Is that right?
Yes.
He can't overcome us because the one with us, the one in us, is way, way too big.
Amen.
So, but he also knows if he can get us cursed, if he can get us cursed, that's another thing. If he can get us to lose our backing. Huh? Lose God's help and God's grace and God's strength and God's protection. You might say, well, can a child of God today do that? Absolutely. If not, what's 1 Corinthians 10 talking about? Right? What's Hebrews 3 and 4 talking about if none of this applies? What's he warning us about? He said the same thing that happened to them could happen to us. Well, this is one of the things that happened to them. So, he said, I'll promote you. I'll do whatever you say. You know, how much land you want? You want a castle? How many chariots? I'm serious. He's king. How many chariots you want? How much gold you want? How much silver you want? Name your price. But he said, come curse me, this people. Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. This is another indication he's a real prophet. He knows that. He can't. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also this night that I may know what the Lord will say to me more. Now I'm going to fast forward just a little bit. This money is calling to Balaam. He wants this money. He wants it badly, strongly. He's longing for it. Which is why he says, well, let me go ask again. Let me go ask again. And so he says, stay again tonight. Now I'll go ask again. And we'll see what else the Lord will say to me more. And you're going to see, like I said, a phrase that we New Testament Christians, we quote a lot of times. It comes out of this. God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise up and go with them. But yet the word I shall say to you, that shall you do. Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. Now, you'll find out right after this, it said the Lord was angry with him for going. And apparently, he said, if they come to call you. And I guess he didn't wait for him to call him. He's interested in that money. He just gets up and goes. And this is where, verse 22, God's anger was kindled because he went. And you'll find here later it says because he was angry with him because his way was perverse in God's eyes. And we find out later it was because he was so covetous over this money. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey. And without going through all of it, this is the account where the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. You know, the donkey was there riding along, and the donkey saw the angel. And he said, uh-uh. The angel was standing there with a sword. And so the donkey just went off the road into the field. And Balaam hit the donkey and then got the donkey back on the road. And then the angel backed up a little bit, and they were going between these two walls. And the donkey pushed him up against the side and crushed Balaam's foot. And then he beat the donkey, and then the donkey saw the angel, and the donkey just finally just fell down in the road flat. And he said, I ain't going. And he beat the donkey again. And the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and he said, why are you beating me? And what's funny is Balaam just answered, because, he said, because you've run off the road, you crushed my foot. If I had a sword, I'd kill you. And anyway, the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. He saw the angel, and he realized, uh-oh, I have messed up. He said, I'll go back home if you want me to go. I'll go back. He said, no, but whatever I tell you to do, he said, only say the words that I give you to say. So verse 36, Balak heard that Balaam was come. He went to meet him, and he said, didn't I earnestly call you? Didn't I tell you I'm able to promote you and honor you? Balaam said, lo, I'm come, but have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that shall I speak. How many think that is a good word today? Yes. Don't go beyond what he said. Is that right? Don't add to it. Don't take from it. Pay attention to it. Keep diligently and carefully, precisely the word of the Lord. Well, our time's up again. Everybody said out loud like we do, I live by faith, I walk by faith, I overcome the world by faith, I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, we'll see you back again tomorrow here in Faith School. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390